Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your comrade in arms, a soldier in the battle with you, Sean Kwali. I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hills and the smells of North America. And as always, we count it a privilege and a joy and an honor to be talking to you from this platform that we know of called Black Power Radio. And I know every one of you have read the description, you have saw the title, you've looked at it, you've seen it over the weeks. We've been blasting through the emails, hitting you on your Facebook, hitting you on your MySpace, calling you up and letting you know that the man himself, the man of the hour, the head man in charge, the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is on the air. We're talking about Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and we're going to spend some time with him tonight. We're going to talk to him tonight, and he also wants to talk to you all tonight. He don't want to just talk to his brother, Sean Kwali. We talk all the time. He want to talk to you, too. And so for those of you listening, the number 646-478-4447, you press number 1. For those of you on the line, just pick the black man's brain. For those of you in the chat room, put your questions up, and we are going to get all the way into it tonight. There's so much to talk about. So let's see if our chairman is on the air. Answer, Chairman, you're on the air, Black Power.
Black Power, my dear brother, I am on. I'm on the air Monday night.
Yes, sir. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir, watching the Steelers beat up on them Bengals.
Hey, I'm a Steelers fan, so I'm celebrating.
For whatever that's worth. But... anyway, I'm happy to be on tonight. Very happy to be on with you, dear brother, and to talk with the radio listening audience, to field your questions and to field their questions, and to go over the current circumstances and climate of the black liberation struggle in the hills of North America, and to pay specific attention to last week's midterm elections. Would also like to touch on not only the midterm elections, but the oncoming congressional investigation into the new Black Panther case by the Republican-controlled House against the Obama administration. That's big news for us, big things you'll be hearing about. Also, Tyler Perry, his movie's out for colored girls only, and you know we went and saw that movie or that madness, so we want to talk about that. And there are quite a few things we need to talk about and see what we're gonna do about.
Yes, sir. Well, tell us a little something. You know, we're coming up again in the hearings, and we thought we put this issue to rest, or we thought we answered it well enough, and now that talking about
bringing us back up on charges. What do you think about that?
Well, these are the games that crackers play in the hells of America. You know, I've been trying to tell y'all all along, or trying to tell some over the course of the summer, really how deep this thing is. And it's still deep and getting deeper. And so the new Black Panther Party now has continued to be a subject matter on Capitol Hill, and the investigation, and calls to reopen the case, and just further persecution on the new Black Panther Party. You know, they've got Barack Obama behind the eight ball now.
Right.
He's behind the eight ball. He didn't have much power at all. You know, and now that the Republicans have taken control of the House of Representatives, he's even going to be under more pressure to do something about the new Black Panther Party. He's been avoiding it himself long enough. He's had Eric Holder out there answering questions and speaking to it. It's even been in the White House briefing room. And hey, old Robert Gibbs, he has to answer questions. But now they control the House of Representatives. The Republican devils took it from a Democratic devil.
Right.
We must, most of us here need to understand that both of them are wicked. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And as I was taught by my father, that neither one of them have invited us to the party, because it's not that kind
that's
of
right.
party. The only
right.
party that's inviting you out there today, black people, is the new Black Panther Party. And we're the only ones really out here championing the cause of a mass political party. Not just a ballot box party, but just an organization, a mass movement. I don't want to leave out the Freedom Party of New York. I support the Freedom Party. But the new Black Panther Party has been out here like a voice in the wilderness, crying for at least since the years of Khalid Abdul-Muhammad on the national level. And so since the days of Dr. Khalid, and since the days that his voice was raised and has been raised in the hells of America, even before he joined in the new Black Panther Party, he is the one that gives us an ideology, gives us a philosophy, gives us a mentality to be able to function in this hour. It is Khalid Muhammad teaching that you can rely on in this hour. It is his stance, his ideology, his predictions is that which we can settle on. And so when the war drums are sounding and the crackers on the hill are beating their war drums and the Tea Party is gaining power and white folks with guns are arming up, and all of those who have put their faith in the Democratic Party, now the Democratic Party is scattered and shattered into pieces. Oh, hook-nosed, beak-nosed Nancy Pelosi, she's been booted out of power.
That's right.
She's just trying to get a job back. All of these Negroes, they had it all in their hand. All of this is part of the politics and the polytricks in the cesspool of white America. It has no salvation for us. But yet it involves us. It does involve black people. It involves tax dollars. And if we're talking about tax dollars, well, that's in our 10-point program, because in our 10-point program, we talk about we don't believe in taxation. It's also in the Black Muslim program. What am I saying? I am saying that, as we used to say, put the Muslim program to Congress. We're going to have to put the Black Panther program to Congress, the Black Panther program to the community, the Black Panther program to the youth, the Black Panther program to the streets with a heavy dose of Dr. Khaled Muhammad. And that's the only way we're really going to survive. Not just the new Black Panther Party. I'm talking to black people in general. I'm here to tell you that the black people in general, that if they don't accept what we are about to say tonight, that if you don't accept this ideology, this philosophy, this mentality, this spirituality, this direction, this focus, then you're headed towards your own doom and destruction as a nation and as a race. We'll never be a nation and a race united, to use that terminology, if you don't pay attention to what we have to say tonight. It is just that serious in this hour. The white man is through with us. He always has been through with us, but this particular kind of white man is really through with us. He's angry that a black man has been propping his funky feet up in the White House.
That's right.
He's angry that a black woman, a African-looking, tall, Watusi-looking black woman.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's just on a fundamental level. Yeah, I know that Barack Obama's hooked in with the bankers and the Zionists and all of that. Yeah, we're gonna accept that. We have to accept truth. But we also have to accept truth that the average white man in America does not like seeing what he calls a nigger and a family of niggers in the ruling White House of the United Snakes of America. That just gets white folks mad. And so not only are they, the Republicans mad at the Democrats, and not only are they alleged mad about spending, this cracker's always talking about spending. We need to stop spending. All you got to do is read through the language, man. He's saying, we don't want a dime to go to the black people. We don't want a dime to go to niggers and Mexicans, is what they're telling you. We don't want no goddamn Section 8. We don't want no Social Security. You're talking about disability. You ain't running around in the community talking about you. Hey, white man ain't for that. These white folks, that's what they mean, stop spending. They mean stop spending on you.
Right.
Not stop spending on some goddamn space shuttle or some billion-dollar Voyager going way out, taking a picture of a comet or taking a picture of Mars. He ain't talking about stop spending on the largest military defense budget in the history of mankind, an annual defense budget that surpasses the defense budgets of all of the nations of the earth. He's not talking about cutting that now. Much as he's talking about cutting spending, he's not complaining about one weapons program to keep him in power. What he is talking about is removing what they call the niggers from the White House and removing what they call the niggers from the hells of North America.
That's right.
They are tired of you, and they have been tired of you. And the white man is moving to making his final moves. While we dance and sing and party and play these goddamn games, and they give a few Negroes some money, like this buck dancing, boot licking faggot, Tyler Ferry. Yeah, they'll finance these niggas, this big faggot. They'll finance him out there to already set the climate and the atmosphere to help the white man. And then they put it in your mind, we all need to get rid of the black man. The black man is public enemy number one. He's the number one endangered species. And so here they are now, and they time this stuff. It's all timed out, man. It's timed out to come out after the election. It's timed out to use you and us as tools for our own destruction. I don't give a damn whether Tyler Perry has hired some actors. The white man gave him and puts him in this position because he knows what kind of nigga he is in the beginning. Any Negro that will go out here and put on some high heel pumps and some lipstick and a dress time after time again, something is wrong with that nigga.
Right.
You knew that from the very beginning. Shit is not funny. Niggas dressing up like women. It's not funny. It's a serious problem. When you add that and you couple that with financing and millions of dollars and you put it on the big screen and you make the black man appear as if he's nothing but a rapist, nothing but a child molester and a child abuser and a child murderer, nothing but a married man on the low, gay low, passing out HIV to his woman, his queen, knowing that when you put Janet Jackson in that position, the whole world loves Janet Jackson. I mean, this is some serious conspiracies and plots and plans to destroy our people, and we're not going to be able to keep talking about it long, too much longer. It's all going to come to an end. So we're going to touch on these topics. You know, I'm kind of going across the board right now, and I want to come into some questions, but I, you know, these are things that are on my mind.
Yes, sir. Whenever you're ready, we can take the calls already. You ready to take a call?
Yeah, I guess we go to the phone lines.
Yes, sir. 626-399. You're on the air. The Black Power Radio, the National Chairman, Black Power. Your comment, your question.
Hotep, brothers. This is Brother Person Kid.
Hotep.
Yes, I'm glad that I'm a frequent listener. I definitely like what you guys have to say and appreciate the show. I tried to call another station, and the answer that I got was not acceptable, but I'm just kind of curious from your point of view. Are we at war with these crackers?
No, sir, we're not. But they, most certainly, my dear brother, are at war with us. We may not be at war, but we're damn sure in a war.
Okay. Either way it goes, there is a war going on in your assessment.
Well, let me answer you then. There's absolutely a war going on. But the war, my dear brother, was started a long time ago. The war was started over 6,600 years ago when the grafting of the white man took place and he was brought onto our planet. The war was started over 2,000-some-odd years ago when the Hyksos, or the pale man, came in and invaded Kemet or Egypt. Or when Alexander the Not-So-Great and the Greeks and the Freaks attacked our people, an original black civilization. The war had already begun, my dear brother, as soon as the cracker, after being bottled up in Europe by the black Moors, came out in the late 1400s, and when they touched the shores of Africa and began crawling their nasty hairy hands around the shores of Africa, all the way till today, my dear brother, there's been a war against black people, but a specific war against the black man. They have never let up one second, one day. There's only been the illusion, you know, of progress. But now, as we say right now in this year, my dear brother, the reason why I say that we are at war, we are not fighting. They are fighting. They are arming up. They are putting the people they want to put into power and solidifying the power that they already have. The white man is daily working on his politics and his organizing. He don't give a damn whether he's getting a dime. Them crackers out there pushing them agenda and that Tea Party and these other political circles, these people are dedicated zealots to their cause. They don't have to be paid. They ain't got to be asked whether they can show up on time. These white folks are serious. They know what this day and hour means. And that really shook them on a certain level, this, some of them. This black man in the White House thing. And it allowed them to bring up all of their harbored feelings against black people in general. They had been feeling like this all along. But this now taking the mask off the white man. And now that his mask is coming off, you're going to see what he's really about. You know, the thing about it is we're not fighting back as a people. Now, the New Black Panther Party is fighting back. They are specifically at war with us. They're calling for Congress. They got congressional hearings about to get started on us. They've already done everything they can. I'm going to stop for a minute. Just let me drop this, and I'm going to come back to you. They have already started in on us. And I guess what they're saying is that they're determined that the fact that a black man stood in front of a polling place and cussed them out, that they're going to make us pay. And they are determined that they're going to make the New Black Panther Party pay for that. It's not just politics. It's not just them against Obama administration. There's an effort, a serious effort, to wipe the New Black Panther Party out. And then we got to look around as a New Black Panther Party. They're at war with us, and we certainly at war with them because we're organizing. We're doing what we have to do in the hills and ghettos of America. Whatever legal arms we got, we're putting them together. We're teaching the truth. We're fighting back as best we can. But then we got to look around us in the New Black Panther Party, and I have to look around me as the chairman of the Panther Party, and see who's fighting with us. What black leadership is fighting with us? What black leadership is standing up with us? You know? And so we have to look at this and calculate all of it. Also calculate the strength of the God that we believe in. And really, it has to be for us like a jihad, or a spiritual or a holy war for us, because we cannot rely on man to get us through this. Man has failed us in our battles against these top crackers. Man, black leaders, others that we have supported and stood with. You niggas are running and hiding right now. And so, yes, brother, we're at war. It's a physical war. It's a mental war. It's a culture war. It's a spiritual war. And we should not, on those who are on this radio line, we should really get band together strong and unite and be determined that we're not going to go down. But there are going to be a lot of casualties in this war in the months to come.
I'm glad you clarified that for me, because there are some of us that are under the illusion that we are not at war. And the reason I'm glad you clarified that, you know, at first I was kind of confused when you said we weren't, but I'm glad you said at the very end that, yes, we are. I know for detail, because I'm a bond trader. You know, I trade and basically to know this cracker system and see who I can support or whatnot with their, you know. Well, anyways, I can tell you details of where Tea Party funding goes and what it is. Okay, I could tell you details of which candidate got what, why, when, where, and how. I could tell you details of Ron Paul and Rand Paul's funding that's going into killing Somalians. I can give you details about Canadian fertilizer companies that are creating inflationary shocks in Africa to kill Africans off that are funded by Joe Miller and other Tea Parties. The reason I'm asking about war, okay, because the fact that I follow the finance industry, you know, forensically, is a lot of us are under the illusion that we are not at war. And I just kind of cut to the chase. If you think that we're not, no worries about it. Like a mouse that's in front of a snake getting ready to eat it, it's going to figure out once it's in the snake's belly it's at war. Okay? I just wanted to put that out there for you because I was just kind of confused.
Oh, that's strong, black man.
That are under the illusion that we're not at war, but I can give you details of military funding of where certain bonds are being traded to make sure that Africans globally, not only in the United States, but globally, are wiped off the planet. So, yes, I'm glad you did clarify
well,
that. We are not only at war with crackers, but we're at war with not with impending genocide that we're about to face. So I just wanted to thank you guys so much for clearing
that. Well, don't
go
nowhere. What's your name, black man?
I'm Bond Trader, or if you want to call, I'm Person Kid.
Brother Bond Trader, however you want to be called, black man, let me say this to you. This is not just a talk show here. We are, this is a movement here. And all of the radio shows are calculated and designed to either support our movement or relate somewhat significantly to the movement. There's a lot of people on blog radio, and there's a lot of talk, and there's a lot of chatter going on, and we need information. There's no doubt about it. But I want those to listen up and to understand here that this is a movement, and what we talk about, we are in the process. Well, we're not only in the process. We have boots on the ground, and we're fighting to counter that which is attacking us and at war with us and the problems that we talk about. We're into solutions and results here. And so what I'm saying to you, Brother Bond Trader, is that if you have all this information on the enemy, I don't want to just let you go. I would say that we'll give you some information if you desire to have it. And you should join in with our movement and help us with the information and the research, because we're building a national ministry of information and a think tank that is going to release powerful information through websites and other. You know, we got a movement here, and we got people all over the country. We got Facebook sites and webs. Our website is one of the most popular in the world, and soon to be real popular once these crackers keep talking about it on the news coming up. And so if you got some time, maybe you could help us with some research and facts so we can continue to expose this beast to our people. I'm just saying, in some way or another, join in with us. That's what I'm going to be talking to most of y'all about as I go down the line tonight. Join in with the Panther movement. You don't have to join the new Black Panther Party, or you can join it, but you got to join in. And I'm going to make it so easy that you can't deny it. And so that's my offer to you, dear brother. I can give you an email if you desire. Is that something you'd be interested in, sir?
Yes, I've emailed you, emailed New Black Panther Party before. But, yes, I'll definitely, you know, and I think I've talked before, you know, many a time, I believe. And I will send you an email and another one or whatnot, and I'll just make sure that you know it was me that called you. But just to give you kind of an idea, when you said to expose this cracker.
Yes.
Expose him globally, okay? And when I say globally, especially with these new human rights commissions that are coming out, the fact that they're marred in a currency war and heightened protectionism, it may be advantageous to expose him globally right now. Because
no, we have no choice. This is a global economy and to be very straight, this everything is interconnected on an international and a global level.
Exactly. I'm listening off the air, but I want to thank you very much, because I really hope that our folk realize not only are we at war with crackers, but I hope that they understand that literally a pogrom or a genocide effect is being set upon us. Especially the Tea Party funding and other funding that you brought up. Thank you so much, and I will send you the email.
Email nbpphq@yahoo.com. And let's follow up on this conversation, because we may have you come back on the radio with your information and help and give you more time to lay out. If you'll send it to us and we can analyze what you're going to teach, then we can carve out some of the time on here.
I'd rather keep the information between us.
Well, that's fine. Well, however you want to do it, black man.
Yes.
nbpphq@yahoo.com. Whichever way you want to do it, whichever way you want to roll, that'll be on you.
Okay.
All right. But all I'm talking to you. Yes, sir. Thank you. As we move on, and the rest of the brothers and sisters in the radio listening audience, tonight as we talk about this subject of the death of liberalism and the rise of black nationalism, and certainly we have to say Pan-Africanism, certainly we're understanding that this is a global struggle, and the white man is a global enemy, and America and her tentacles are wrapped, and her tentacles of her corporations and her military is certainly wrapped all around the nations of the planet Earth. There's no doubt about it. And certainly we have to factor what role the mother beast, England, and her sister, France, and the other European nations have to play into this and how it's all going to come about. I mean, it's a heavy thing we're dealing with. We were on the line yesterday with our international brothers from France and England. And before we take some more questions, I want to let you know that some big things are coming up. In January, there's going to be an international webcast where all of you all will be able to listen and hear and see the ministers from the New Black Panther Party and the leaders from the New Black Panther Party from around the world. And they're all going to come on one after another from different points in the earth, and you will be able to watch them on video from the diaspora, hear from our brothers and sisters in France, hear from them in Gabon, hear from them in the Gambia, maybe even Benin, hear from them in Zimbabwe and Tanzania, and others that are lining up with us all over the planet Earth. They are lining up and embracing and putting on this label of the New Black Panther Party. And they want the same thing we want. They want an end to imperialism, neocolonialism, Zionism, an end to the bloodsucker capitalism that is killing our people all over the world, all over the planet. We'll get more into it as we go into the question and answer session, but once again, this is not your average radio show. We're not just talking heads. We're building a movement. This is a monitored movement. The FBI on the line right now.
That's right.
Other white spy organizations, they're on the line. They're taping and tapping right now. And that's because we're the last hope. I don't care how raggedy we look. Sometimes we one of the last hopes, if not the last hope. Really, on a certain level, just straight up the last hope. Where you can get that undiluted, uncut, unmixed, untampered with truth. Let's go to the phone lines.
Yes, sir. 973-592, you're on the air with the National Chairman of the New Black Panther Party. Your question, your comment, Black Power.
Black Power, Chairman Shabazz and Brother Sean. This is Brother Dashaun.
Go ahead, Black Man.
Brother Chairman, I have a question. My question is this. Several months ago, during the summer, when the Tea Party was gaining momentum, we saw a sudden rise in the appearance of black conservatives, and they actually used some of these black conservatives to attack the New Black Panther Party. They had them on Fox when we went down to South Carolina. What I want to know, Brother Chairman, how would you respond to black conservatives who seem to be allowing themselves to be used by the enemy of our people to bring down not just President Barack Obama, but the black community in general, and they who see nothing wrong with it. They say that they're not black. They might say, well, I'm American who happens to be black. How would you respond to such fools?
Well, when you talk about people like
Object 21.
Well, you're talking about people like Armstrong Williams.
Yes, and Tyra.
Or you're talking about people like old bootlicking, buck dancing, what's his name, Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson.
Yes, sir.
And you got a variety of these fools out here. Clarence Page.
Don't forget Nigel Ennis.
Yeah, nigger Ennis. I mean Nigel Ennis.
Sir, yes, sir. And one.
I would say this, Brother Dashaun, in all seriousness. These clowns will be on display. And they will be on display hard for the next couple of years because the momentum that the elephant or the Republican Party has right now. And how that plays out with the core base for the Democratic Party, and that's the black people.
Yes, sir.
And the non-black Democrats, the conservatives, they're going to get play. They're going to get airtime. They're going to get rhythm. And, of course, they will be trotted out again to attack us. They will be trotted out again to attack us. But I'm not going to waste too much time on them, you know. That's really, to be honest, brother. I can't waste too much time on these bootlicking Uncle Toms, man, and debating them, you know. I mean, to the extent that they attack us, then we'll have to respond and attack them. But other than that, I can't come up with any special plans or strategies, or they don't have a following. Nigel Ennis does not have a following. It's him. It's just him and his daddy. And a bunch of white folks, a few white folks, not even a lot. CORE is nothing these days.
Mm-hmm.
It exists on TV only. Where is the D.C. chapter of CORE? Where is the Philly chapter of CORE? Where is CORE? Where is the CORE of CORE? I don't even know where it's rooted at.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, it's really a joke. Jesse Lee Peterson, where is his church at? Where is his congregation?
Yes, sir.
I mean, give me a break, man. These people are made. These are 100% made and crafted leaders, so-called leaders and talking heads out there. And so, you know, I would just say that our focus, my dear brother, must be on putting out our own media. We have to fight viciously, and that's why I like what you're doing with your independent media. And everybody out there, I support what Brother Dashaun is doing. He is putting his talents into action. He's putting his talents into action. Hold one quick second.
Yes, sir.
And while we hang just a second, for all of those who's going to call in or who's calling in, if you have a question, you got to press 1. You press 1 so that I know that you're in queue. We want to pick the general.
I'm back now.
Go ahead, sir.
And I was just saying this, that we have to build our own media stronger and better than ever before. And that's why all of those here that are into media and communications that are on, we need you to join on in with the new Black Panther Party and join on in to our National Ministry of Information and Communications. We're trying to build ministries and build this nation up and coordinate and organize it so it makes sense, Brother Dashaun.
Yep.
You're out there in the field with your camera. You're interviewing important people.
Yes, sir.
And in this organization, I know you got the right to put your stuff out everywhere.
Yes, sir.
But my vision, dear brother, is to, as soon as you get those hot interviews, is that it be fed right into our website and our communication vehicles right away.
Yes, sir. I'll be covering the Mamiya rally tomorrow. I'll be headed up to Philly early
in
the morning.
You're doing a good job. And so what I need you to do, while you're doing all the rest of that, and a man of your kind of skill, you probably need to join on in here with us in the Ministry of Communications.
Yes, sir.
Just so that what you're doing out there in the field, that the new Black Panther Party can understand it, and everybody that's following us can understand it, and then as our website, which is soon to be much more capable for live feeds and other things, that we can get your information out.
Yes, sir.
And that's where we're going to fight back, man. We were fighting an information war and a proper propaganda war. And to the extent that we need to be getting our information out on YouTube and Facebook and New Black Panther TV and others without being silly. I'm not trying to be silly like all these other people out here with their little YouTube videos. And we may talk about that during the course of this, because I'm not for a lot of that, but I am for a solid program of information.
Yes, sir.
We got to step it up right now. And I'm telling you this, Brother Dashaun, the attack that's about to go down on the new Black Panther Party on a propaganda level, we're going to need to defend ourselves. Don't expect help from nobody.
Yes,
we're going to have to defend ourselves. All right?
Yes, sir.
So maybe you'll be in on the ministry meeting. It's going to take place Thursday. If you do, you should contact Brother Sean Kwali. Why don't you Facebook him or something, and you should be in on the National Ministry of Information meeting, where we're going to, it ain't no kind of rhetoric in on the meeting. It's all decisions.
Yes, sir.
On how we're going to build up this media. We have to assemble all our proper propaganda weapons, because proper propaganda warfare is being played, and it's going to be played on a stronger level against us in the very near future and coming days.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Will do, sir.
All right, we'll see. We appreciate you, black man.
Likewise, black power.
All right, black power.
Black power. That brings us to a question, Brother Chairman. Why is it that the new Black Panther Party is being targeted the way that it is? It seems like we're being singled out now, really.
We just won't compromise. It's one of the main reasons, is because we're uncompromising and, I mean, on a certain level, we make a good boogeyman, you know. But it's my research and investigation makes it much bigger than us just being made a boogeyman. I mean, this white man is really upset that we haven't been made an example out of, not just thus far, just in general, you know. Because we're born here, they can't just fix us up like most of these so-called terrorist groups that they do. Brothers and sisters that are here on green cards, they just wipe them out. They just fix them up and either deport them or send somebody in their ranks and, you know, make a couple of moves. Now here they haven't quite figured us out because we're not that. We're not born outside of America. Our dispute with this society was not born outside of America. We come right up here in America. And we represent an organization that was really destroyed and dismantled, shot into the ground, imprisoned into the ground, as bold and brave and courageous as our mothers and fathers in the Panther Party are. Now here we are, we have the audacity to come back as the new Black Panther Party and make a decent showing out of it and make a success out of it.
That's right.
If it was no more than going on the National Mall during the Million War Movement with about 100 or 150 soldiers, if it was no more than just that intelligence that they monitored and gathered that day when they saw that army lined up on that mall, you must know that the white man understands the threat. He understands the threat from Malik Zulu Shabazz, the student of Khalid Abdul Muhammad. He listens in and he understands and he knows that they can't trap me the way they have trapped so many others, specifically recently, so-called terrorists. I have to say, God willing, I can't say that I could beat every trap that the white man would put out there. I have to say, God willing. But if you're talking about threat level and threat capability, yeah, I would say that this leadership here and what it represents, being at a young age, at a younger age, and other organizations in leadership being kind of older in age, that the white man clearly understands that if this message that the new Black Panther Party is preaching, if it ever catch on, and if it ever take root, then it could be a whole different scenario in terms of the master-slave relationship. It represents a real threat. Our intelligence states that what we're doing and what I'm doing represents a real threat in terms of white rule over black people.
Yes,
sir. And now what's about to happen, sir, is that the radicalism in the black community is going to increase. As the radicalism in the white community increases, the radicalism in the black community should increase, and it really will increase. And we are poised to be the beneficiary of that. There's going to be a certain category of blacks that their only mission is going to be for the next year is to put the Democrats back in power. And that's what you're going to hear from them. You're going to hear that from National Action, from Reverend Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, and that the solution is to keep going around and around over and over again. Try to get some Democrats elected, and it's not going to work.
Right.
The death of liberalism is here. But they were going to mislead us like they have so many times, that our hope and our salvation is in the resurrection of the Democratic Party or back in the next white candidate or whoever runs in 2012. And so, but on the other hand, many blacks now are thoroughly disillusioned with politics.
Exactly.
Thoroughly disillusioned with any political promises. If the top Democrat in the history of black America, or white America at the time that he won it, Barack Obama, if you can't get some relief with him, what relief can you get all out of American politics? What relief could you get out of the Democratic Party?
Nice.
When you got the most powerful position occupied by a black man ever, and he had all of the Congress, and then there's 60 seats in the Senate, and had popularity soaring out of this world. And so if you can't get relief there, that is a lesson that you cannot solve this puzzle called America, that it is not going to be united. It is not going to be e pluribus union, out of many come one. It is not going to be some political messiah that is going to, quote unquote, change the way Washington works. However strong Barack Obama was, he ain't strong enough to change America. America was never set up to work right in the beginning, and the white man here knows it. The white man knows it. He ain't for sharing. He ain't for no goddamn melting pot. He ain't for none of this. He's for white rule. He know that he at war. He know he ain't going to agree with no blacks or what he called niggas. He ain't going to agree with no Mexicans, and he ain't even trying to. He's saying, I'm in the majority. I control the money and the weapons. You're going to go, and I got the police. And the police state in my control. Let me get the White House technically back in white hands. And he going to carry out his business. It's only us that are deluded that somehow or another, slave master, children of the slave master, some immigrants from Europe, is going to get along with some ex-slaves from Africa, some immigrants from Africa, some brothers and sisters who came across the white man's border, the brown man, some Republicans, some Democrats, God damn it, a whole bunch of different religions, a bunch of straight people, a bunch of faggots, and all these different kind of folks is all of a sudden going to get together and form a nation, and we are, and it's all going to work out in peace and harmony, man. What are you smoking?
Right.
It is not going to work, and we're learning these painful dear lessons, my brother, that it is not going to work. And because, as it has always been, that the feared answer, instead of suppression for the black nation or elimination, that the alternative solution that has been feared by the white man and J. Edgar Hoover all along, which is black nationalism and us forming, coming together with a mindset of nationhood and forming a nation of our own and an international program of Pan-Africanism, of lining up and uniting and fighting and struggling with our African brothers from across the globe, that he knows that that is salvation for us. And therefore, J. Edgar Hoover calls the leader or the leadership of such ideology that which he calls the leader of the ideology of black nationalism and nationhood. He calls the leadership of that the black messiah. He don't call the leadership of civil rights no black messiah, civil rights doctrine. He does not call the leader of that doctrine black messiah. He calls the leadership of nationhood, nationalism, separation, and black power, he calls the leadership of that the black messiah, meaning that it has the power to save, the power to heal, the power to really redeem us and raise us from the grave, the power to take us from the clutches of Satan. So he knows it. The only question, the only problem, the only people that don't know it is us. And so my appeal to the black nationalists in the audience and the Pan-Africanists in the audience is that if we would get our act together and we would unite. And if you can't get down with the new Black Panther Party, then you should get down with what we're building today. It's an OAAU, an Organization of All African Unity, or a Black Power Movement. I'm going to sit down with the membership of the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement and talk to them about an OAAU, since they're all across the country. But I'm saying, I'm pitching, I'm proposing to the Pan-Africanists, to the black nationalists, to those that believe in liberation, that we should really pull this thing together and we should stop jiving with it and we should unite. And then if y'all won't unite and y'all won't stand with us, then we inside the new Black Panther Party, we gon' unite. And we will collectively represent that black messiah that J. Edgar Hoover thought he had killed, and we will carry this torch, and we will carry this banner, and we will not compromise.
That's right.
The doctrine.
Shit.
And it don't make no difference whether it's just 144,000 of us left when the smoke clears. It don't make no difference whether we have to keep out here crying like Noah. And you look at us like we crazy. Is that really necessary? You know, it's the boots and the fatigues. Is it really necessary? After all, we got a black president. The nigga ain't saying that this week. He was saying that 2 weeks ago. He ain't saying that this week. You know, now you have to. Now that you know that the Democratic Party don't work in white American politics. Does not work, and liberalism or Democratic Partyism is not working. Now you got to stomach us.
Right. Deal with it.
Now you got to stomach us. And so, yes, and I say all that to say, brother, is that they know that we have an intelligent plan to put across. One of the objectives of the counterintelligence program of the United States government was to make the black nationalist leader to take away his credibility in the general black community, or what J. Edgar Hoover called the mainstream black community, or the black press.
Yes, sir.
And so if we ever get this cloud off of us in the black community, you see, because I'm situated and made in a certain way that could be acceptable to the black community. In the black community, they tell you to grow up, get an education, and if you become a doctor or a lawyer in your community, that is acceptable by all mainstream black standards. You could go all the way to the NAACP, or you could go to any sectional quarter in the black community. If you have education in the black community, or you have a degree, or you have situated in that kind of position, that you will have acceptance in the black community. So here Malik Zulu Shabazz comes. He's an attorney at law. He comes from Howard University. He's got the credentials that could reach the black mainstream. There's no doubt about it. Has the knowledge and the ability and the background that he can reach all sectors. I live in the ghetto. I work amongst and work with those that are on Section 8, that those that are drawing them disability checks. I can walk right out my door and see what they call, well, to see the whores, to see the winos, to see the heroin addicts, to see the crack addicts. You see, I'm living up off in the ghetto. I'm not speaking about the black community from some suburb or some gated community. So I'm up off in here in the hood, see? Ain't nobody out there that's under my voice living more in the hood than me. There ain't no more hood than the hood that I'm living in right now. And so I can, so what I'm saying here is that I can relate.
You should.
And in the new Black Panther Party, and the reason why this represents a threat, because if we ever get this cloud off of us in the black community, well, we can be heard, but in specific, I can be heard fairly in the black press, in the black community. It will be over. And if you read the Anti-Defamation League main website, one of their main issues in specific with me is that he may one day gain mainstream credibility. And that it is alarming to them that certain council persons or certain black officials or the others would begin to rally around the new Black Panther Party. And so their objective is always to keep you marginalized and keep you in a corner so that nobody can really deal with you. That's one thing Louis Farrakhan did successfully, certainly did successfully in his career. He damn sure put himself in a position to capture the masses and to be heard by the masses. And he did that with the help of his organization. Of course, a lot of that work and a lot of times that the minister had been heard over the years and years, heard and heard and heard and heard again, up until he was heard by over 1 million and 2 million, and still heard by many today. A lot of that was done by the foot soldiers in the Nation of Islam. And them brothers and sisters who went out and did that labor and brought him around the country and got that message out, and his message was good. We have to bear witness. And his message was good, and they helped him to get his message out. They worked hard, his organization, and he certainly worked it with his organization and the cadre that he had put together till he kept pumping to get his message out. You know, now there continues maybe to be a debate on what are the results after he got his message out and after he was able to draw crowds and strong crowds into the millions. But make no mistake about it, when it comes to getting the message across to the masses, he the king of all of that that we have seen. And it comes out of really a radical base, the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so if we could do anything in that area and be stronger in that area in terms of getting our message out, getting out of the box at this critical time, and I think black people would hear us, then I think that the enemy's days would be much, much shorter and our days would be long.
Yes, sir. Another caller, 910-709, you're on the air. The National Chairman, New Black Panther Party. Your question, your comment, Black Power.
Black Power family.
Black Power.
Okay, yes, this is Hannibal Shabazz. How are things going, y'all?
Doing fine, sir. Just kind of late. What's happening?
Okay, yes, the question I want to ask, though, is about far as, you know, you being an attorney and everything. Okay, you know, okay, to be an attorney, do you have to salute the American flag and represent white clients to be an attorney to keep your bar license?
Okay, that seems like three questions. Do you have to salute the American flag? Do you have to represent white clients? And what was the third part?
Yeah, to be part of Bar Association to stay an attorney.
Well, no, you do not have to salute the American flag. I don't even know what, I haven't even remembered the last time I've been even presented with a situation where I had to salute the American flag. No, you don't have to salute the American flag. You can burn the American flag. It's your constitutional right.
Wow.
You can. It's constitutionally protected. You certainly don't have to represent white clients. An attorney is a businessman, a private businessman. He picks his clients as he chooses. Not like that. There are other things, though. Those are the answers to your specific questions. But I would certainly bear witness to you that being an attorney at law and in the legal profession is akin to being it carries a certain, it's like being in part of the old boy network in America when you're talking about being an attorney. They want you to conduct yourself in a certain way. They feel like they've bestowed a privilege on you, even if you have earned it, which I certainly did, and passed my bar exam on the first time. Even though it's not written in the law, as I was taught by Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, there's the written law and the unwritten law, and the unwritten law is far more powerful. The written law say you have freedom of speech. The unwritten law say, nigga, if you do. The written law say that you can burn that American flag. The unwritten law say we'll find a way to come after your ass. And so with my situation, sir, which without necessarily going into detail, I can tell you that a good portion of my legal career and at certain key and critical times that the enemy has sought to do to me what he has done to Alton Maddox,
mm-hmm.
which is to take his ability to practice law away, which is sorely needed amongst our people, sorely needed amongst our people. And so one of the tests that I've had to face and I've had to pass is to be able, you don't be no leader of no New Black Panther Party and no lawyer and not face attacks from your enemies who run that whole thing. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And so part of the cross that I have to bear, part of the persecution that I have to suffer or what I have to deal with is to just be able to be that and to be in a position to be an attorney at law and to help the people not only that I help in the legal practice but just to have the credibility that carries behind it and to be able to maintain it without being knocked down by the enemy. That's one of the trials I have to face. Most of the lawyers, brother, wouldn't even think about doing nothing like this. They would just not even waste no time worrying about being a part of or building no mass movement or doing that. But I got to do what God put me here to do. I consider it to be perhaps my unique contribution at this stage in time. But it's not easy, you know. But it ain't no easier than anybody else out there that's want to stand up for liberation and you got a job or something out there.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very hard, really, to be honest, to get anybody to stand up and stand out these days. To get people really to stand up and stand out like this, you almost can't have no connections nowhere.
Yeah.
It's many brothers and sisters in the Panther Party. They doing good work. We love them, but they can't come out and be seen like this on no high-profile level because some cracker somewhere is going to pull some strings. And the brothers and sisters got to eat. They got to feed their family. And so some of us have to go out here and represent the mission and take the weight while the others do the work not necessarily with the full light on them. Can you dig what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, sir.
You know, or they'll get out there and you see other kind of so-called leaders and leadership, and they just get out there and they just try to do almost any damn thing just to change the message and just to twist it all around to satisfy their white masters. That's another whole scenario. But the bottom line here with us, sir, the bottom line is, here, yes, sir, you face all kind of attacks from the white man being an attorney at law. As soon as they hear I'm an attorney, that's when the white man start attacking. He say, I know how to get this nigga. If you're a minister or something, they have a hard time getting to you. They have to try to figure out if you got a church, if you got some taxes or something that they can go after. And so, yeah, welcome to public enemy number one. Territory. Not that I'm public enemy number one. I certainly can't say that. But if I ain't in the top 10 amongst black people, I'm getting off this phone now. And if we ain't in the top 10, I have to say I and we, because y'all going wherever I go. Y'all are not going to leave me out here. Y'all got me halfway into this. I say halfway into this because we was already into this. King Samir got me into one third of it. If he out there, he didn't got me into one third of it.
Get it together.
All right, let's move on.
Oh, yes, sir. Black power.
All right, hey, man, Bill, man, we got to build up some North Carolina, for real, man. We need to see some black people raised up in some North Carolina, for real.
Yeah, we got to bring it back here now, I'm telling you.
You know, y'all need to communicate with Minister Sean, and if you need help, we need to tell you, it's black people wall to wall down there. We got to put the Panther program to North Carolina.
Yeah, we need some help down here, brother, for real.
All right, let's roll.
Okay, yes, sir. You know,
okay, I'm looking forward, Brother Shabazz. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Okay, yes, sir. I'll be glad to see you again, too, brother.
Okay. Black power. Black power to everybody down there in the mighty North Carolina.
All right, black power, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. And
I'll take a couple of more, then I'm going to go get some rest.
Yes, sir. Understood. A question from Brother Kamal out of North Carolina. He wants to know what's your thoughts is on the Oscar Grant verdict. A hot topic right now, Oscar Grant. What's your thoughts on that?
It's a tough topic. I would say that we've seen this scene over and over again where black people like Oscar Grant just murdered, in this case execution style, murdered with impunity. And here Marshall is walking away, the pig that murdered him is walking away, probably going to be out in 7 months or less on protective custody behind bars. We see it so much. I'm just over and over again. I just got off the phone with our national minister of defense, Brother DK in Dallas, Texas. And another young brother in Texas has been killed. And the police continue to kill. I'm proud of the brothers and sisters in Oakland, California, who have done what they could do facing the police state that they face. And for those brothers and sisters, and some of them say that they are with us, that have rebelled out there on the streets of Oakland, we're proud of them for standing up and doing what they can do. We just have to do much more. And we have to do much more. And so, Brother Kamau, there's so much to be said that probably needs to left to be said unsaid, really, in terms of the war on police brutality and the situation of police brutality. The Black Panther Party was started really in large part because of police brutality and the pigs brutalizing black people. And in the history of the Black Panther Party, a mighty war really was fought between the Panthers and the police over just the Panthers' stance against police brutality, all the way to the point where the Panther Party today will quickly tell you then that we dropped the name self-defense.
Right.
Because they caught so much attack, harassment from the enemy for organizing against police brutality, for organizing armed patrols, for taking a strong line. And they were outnumbered by the police, outnumbered by the state. Ultimately, they were dismantled and met their demise. And so here we come. We face the same challenges, the same environment, the same killers. Less of a movement around us. Less of a fervor in the streets. And we have to be just as determined, dear brother, to put an end to it and to make gains against it. And so there are certain things that obviously need to be done to crackers that execute black people. I don't think we need to go into it on the radio. We don't have nothing to do with it. You can just think logically, or you can visit the book of Exodus where it talks about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a limb for a limb, and a life for a life. If you want to consult the spiritual laws Or you could visit the Holy Quran. Holy Quran say, Wakatilu, Wakatilu fi sabilillahi ladina yukatilu nakun. To fight. To fight in the name of God with those who fight with you.
Sure.
And so we understand what really has to happen. You know, as I've said many times before in self-defense, that until they start seeing caskets going floating down the boulevards in their community, then they will never have the respect for us, or they fear caskets flowing down the streets in ours. You know, as a basic understanding of this problem. And then you got to deal with the realities of this situation, where black people in the colonies and the hills of North America are living in occupied police states. And you have a police military apparatus that is multi-layered now and is more sophisticated, and its tentacles are more deadly than it was in the past. And so all I can say, dear brothers, we have to continue to fight against police brutality by all means, on all levels. I would say we have to organize the black community. The New Black Panther Party cannot face this struggle alone and will not face it alone. And that when the Panther Party is ready and running and up and ready the way it should be, then in the blocks and the streets of America, black people with their video cameras and their other kind of equipment that we don't need to go into here, we'll be out here on these blocks and streets of America. It's going to take the Panther Party, though, to wake up the black community and to organize the black community and to make police occupation in the black community impossible or improbable. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir. Good point.
We have to get to the level. I'm not going to say that we're there. Once we get a grip on the black community, a stronger grip, not that we have to control everything, but once Panther politics becomes a dominant force in the black community, then the streets and the thinking of the people in the streets and the organizing and the actions of the people in the streets will begin to go our way. And they will not go the way of the police. I say it all the time, that the police cannot patrol the black community unless we allow them to. We can put some checks on the police. I'm not going to tell you that we can eliminate and wipe out police brutality in the hills of white America. We don't have enough numbers here. We teach separation. That separation is really the best and the own and best and only solution. The white man has police, he's going to continue to supply. Even when some of them are killed out there, they're going to supply some new bodies. They got money and budgets. They're going to pour into some police and some guns. It's going to be thousands and thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of goddamn police after police. It's an institution. It's a job.
Sure.
Basically, you're talking about survival. You're talking about cutting down on the incidents. You're talking about educating black people on what to do when stopped by the police and just trying to cut down on the number of casualties. But you're going to get killed. Let me tell you this, no matter if you do everything right, some black people are going to get killed by some police.
Yes, sir.
And some brothers out there getting fed up, and they're not nowhere near connected with us. They may have just heard something or didn't hear nothing at all. And they're killing police, too, still in this day and hour.
That's right.
And so we're at war, brother. And so the Panther Party must organize the black community to resist against police brutality. The Panther Party must get stronger, because we're one of the few organizations that's even interested in that field. Most organizations I know, they leave that off the table. They're going to work on something else.
Yeah.
But that's one subject matter that they are not going to deal with, is no police and police brutality. They ain't, I mean, that's a tough one to swallow. But I think that we have the capacity to do it. And I would say the stronger the Panther Party gets, the stronger we can get against police brutality. I make no further promises than that. I've told you the solutions from the beginning.
Yes, sir. Question out of chat room. Sister Aisha Griffin ran in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They say under the motto, not the white man's bitch, she said she only received 7% of the vote, and she believes there was a matter of voter fraud. So the question to you, sir, is will the new Black Panther Party have an official political party with its own political candidates nationwide?
Who was that who got 7%?
Aisha Griffin, I believe the name is.
Oh, that's the sister.
Aisha
that,
Griffin.
Oh, she ran for office.
In Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Well, that's good to hear, sister, and I'm hoping that you, if you're on this radio line, I'm going to make the assumption that you're a strong Black woman and strong for our people. And we want you to, if you are that, and it seems like you are that, you should contact us here at nbpphq@yahoo.com, nbpphq@yahoo.com. Join in with us. Yes, sister, we are going to be fielding candidates in certain local elections in the future. It is not the primary mission of the new Black Panther Party to run candidates. I would not lie to you. But it is an accepted practice here. It is something that which we are trying to do. We are expanding the new Black Panther Party to accommodate different kinds of Black people who love our people and want liberation. Some may be like you, sister, and they are like our national youth minister and East Regional captain, Brother Divine Allah, who captured up to 40% of the vote in a city council election, running on a platform of community control and running on a history of Black nationalism and Black power. And he was very successful, and next time he will be the winner. And so we're going to put certain people in seats, in city council seats, maybe in school board seats, maybe run for other seats. And if that's your field of interest, sister, you can fit in with us. We will be running some of those kind of, the new Black Panther Party is that kind of party. But it also encompasses other Black people that don't care nothing about politics. I mean, if you run, we might convince them to vote for you. If Divine run, they might convince them to vote for him. But other than that, they don't want nothing to do with that. It's like a party like the Pan-African Congress or other revolutionary political organizations, that part of the mission is politics. But other than that, our concern is the general welfare of Black people and the Black nation. And a party that wants to build schools and also have influence into what the public school system is doing to our youth. You know, a party that wants to do something for our people and also hold the systems in our community that run and operate in the community to hold them accountable. And so we have a variety of interest in the Panther Party. There's a military aspect to the Panther Party. But I want to let everybody know who's on the phone line, the new Black Panther Party is expanding. It is expanding, and there's a place for all of you here. All of y'all, I feel, should come under this umbrella. I don't see what excuse you have not to get with the Panther program. And if you say you have an excuse for not getting with the Panther program, then I'm going to ask you, what excuse do you have for not organizing with me?
Good question.
You know, just for real, what reason really do you have not to? You know? And so, yes, sister, you call on in. We want to talk. We have a national ministry of politics that is developing, that's going to put our political program together all over the country. And we want you to be part of it. All of you who are out there listening, I want y'all to join with us in the new Black Panther Party. Join on in. We don't care. I don't care whether you into wearing boots and fatigues or not. For those that like wearing military uniforms and you're serious about defense and security, and you're a vanguard hardline soldier, you come on. This is right for you. But for those of you out there who are just like the average one of the brothers and sisters in the masses, I don't care whether you're wearing Reeboks, New Balance, Nike. I don't care what kind of jeans you're rocking. You some Levi's or some Sevens. I don't care what you're rocking, man. I rock all that too. You know, we're average people.
Right.
And we're building a people's party and a people's army and a party that the people can be comfortable in. I'm here to end all your excuses for not joining onto your own. You ain't got nowhere else to go. If anybody got somewhere else to go other than the Nation of Islam, and you know you're not going to go over there because you're not going to follow all them rules. None of y'all is trying to eat one meal a day. So you got to come here. We're going to let you eat three meals a day. You can eat three times over here. Let's take the next caller.
Yes, sir. Quickly, we're taking
names. I ain't going to lie. I ain't trying to eat one meal a day. As much as I love the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I be getting hungry as hell eating one meal a day. I had to join the Panther Party. Let's go to the phone line.
214-431, you're on the air, Black Power Radio. The National Chairman, your question, your comment, Black Power. 214-431, you're on. Go ahead, Black Power.
Hey, Black Power, Brother Drew X.
Drew X.
Hey, Black Power, Brother Drew.
All right, we just got a few brothers sitting around the table listening. And we just want to say we're proud of Brother Malik, Brother Sean, holding it down. We're aware of all these killings, four and 2 months, unarmed men in Dallas, Texas.
Yes, sir.
In an interview with the paper called the DPD What They Are, Dallas
mm-hmm.
Police Department. And I also let them know we won't be protesting.
Mm-hmm.
We don't strike the protest in Dallas, Texas.
You got a question for the chairman?
Oh, I'm just letting you guys know I'm proud of you. When we listen.
Well, brother, we want to say we're proud of you. And we're
yes,
proud
sir.
Of those who are with you, Brother Hakeem and others of those that are standing with you, Brother Ali and others in the Dallas chapter, and certainly Brother DK.
Yes,
and
sir.
And so we're going to send all our love out to Dallas, Texas. And we're very proud of you because, again, we see what this enemy's doing. He's killing black men in Dallas like it's going out of style. He's killing black men in Dallas all the time and have really killed people that have been damn near related to us inside the Panther Party, Brother Bobby and so forth. So
yeah.
You all know how serious this problem is. And so we got an interest in building up some Dallas. We got a national interest in building up some Dallas, Texas. And so everybody on this phone line needs to know that the new Black Panther Party backs the Dallas chapter and backs the growth and expansion of it under Brother Minister Drew X and Brother Hakeem and others, and that we're going to do all we can to pump some life, some more life, and to help Dallas become mighty, mighty and strong, and to take the city of Dallas, I mean the whole city, needs the Black Panther program like never before. And so anything that I can do there, brothers, and I'm scheduled to be there soon, in either late January or early February. And right now we're working on a daily basis to strengthen up some Dallas and Fort Worth, and to get down and raise us up some Houston. We're with you all the way. We want you to come back on soon, Brother Drew, and give us a full report. Brother Sean, you schedule it. And
yes,
schedule,
sir.
Brother Drew. We need to really do a show on beast police brutality and bring on the chairpersons that are in the hottest cities or those that have been following the hottest cases. And we need to bring Brother Drew back on and bring some of those on who are out there fighting in Oakland and in other of those that are deep into the fight against police brutality, and so that we can get down to it. I'm just here. I picked up a case here. I got to go to work on it tomorrow of a 65-year-old Muslim elder tased to death by the Montgomery County Police. Brother may have had a few issues or something. The pigs just jumped on him savagely, asphyxiated him with some kind of chokeholds and all that, and stunned and dry tasered him all over his body. You know, and they talk about dry stun. When they don't just shoot you with the taser from a distance, they jam it into your body, and however many long seconds they hold it, is how many seconds you're going to get shocked. If they hold it for a minute, you're going to get shocked for a goddamn minute. These are lethal weapons, man. And so we got to band together, Brother Drew.
Yes, sir.
As much as we're trying to do, we're going to band together and get us a national program against police brutality. We're going to have to band together. And there are many other things that's got to go on that I know nothing about, and I'm not going into on this phone line, but you know what I'm thinking, and I know what you're thinking. And I know
yes,
what
sir.
Anybody else with goddamn common sense is thinking when people are out here killing us like this. I don't have to tell you nothing. You got a mind of your own.
Exactly.
And so we'll leave it at that right now. It's a protracted war. In the short term, what we want to do is really transform our website into a clearinghouse for cases of police brutality. I would like our website, and connect it to some of our special Facebook sites, where anybody in the country that is filming and out there filming this beast police brutality, that they can be able to upload their videos on our website right away, and that we be able to talk to and access these witnesses and these victims right away. Yeah, of course, I'm going to continue to fight, and I'll be able to fight even more on a legal level, on a legal level. And yes, we have to fight in the courtroom and sue these bastards and sue these police departments in these cities. Yes, we have to demonstrate, and we have to protest and bring public attention and awareness, which brings hostility in a general public environment that's against these bastards. But if they keep killing us, well, not if they keep killing us, all I know is if you're killing us, you're going to have to be killed. That's all I can keep. That's all I can tell you, black man. That's the only true that's the only true satisfaction a black man can get out of it. I mean, you can get some money out of it, but that can't bring back a life.
Right. Black power.
You know what I mean? What price is it for life, man? It's either going to be separation for us or all our warfare eventually. The new Black Panther Party is going to do its part to bring an end to it. We have to organize the black community so that these pigs cannot operate in the community. I'm telling you, and they are really afraid. That's why they're really killing a lot of people. They're really afraid. And I'm here to tell you this from the inside, and from my reports from the inside, they are definitely afraid of a general environment and hostility existing in the black community or in the community against them, because they know they cannot survive. When all of the people turn against their ass and start shooting out windows and shooting at their ass at any goddamn time, anywhere, their ass is through.
That's right. Black power. Go ahead.
You see what I'm saying? Old grandma in the attic shooting at your ass as you pass by on your patrol mission. Goddamn baby shooting at your ass. It's over.
Black power.
Let me shut up, man, for I be done. For this stuff to come, if I had to watch this on the news tomorrow night or something. Listen to these shocking words as he endorses the killing of police. Listen to this. These are the men that Eric Holder let go. And they're talking about killing police, for Christ's sake. Let's go to the next guy. I love you, man. Love you, Brother Drew. I think you got good character. One thing I like about you, sir, is I think you have good character. Good moral character as a human being and as an organizer.
Black Power.
And we look forward to great things from Dallas and Fort Worth, man. We're going to build us up an army in Dallas and Fort Worth. We're with you, and we're going to prove it. Black Power.
Black Power.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
I think that's all our phone callers right now. If you have any more questions, press number one before we let the NASA chairman go. Anybody on the phone line has another question, you press number one before we let the NASA chairman go. And you touched on a lot tonight, Brother Chairman, a lot tonight. Have you ever considered, this is a quick question, putting this stuff down as a book? Are you going to write any books or any author in the future?
Yeah, I need to. I think the first project that we have to complete is we need to put Dr. Khaled Muhammad's 9 speeches out first. I have to say I would like to put a book out called 9 Speeches by Khaled Muhammad and by Dr. Khalid Muhammad, and then perhaps write in there. Maybe I could write some in there, write a few chapters in there on him. I wouldn't want to write anything about myself. I need to clear him and get his stuff straight before I would say anything myself.
Sure.
And so maybe that's something we'll work on, you know. Put his speeches out, and then we have some reflections on him, you know. I could write some things and go and get maybe some others that would submit their memories and reflections of Dr. Khaled Muhammad, and we put him another book out there. There's already one book out there, Talib Muhammad, Fire 722. And so, Talib Muhammad, who is his captain. And so, I do, though. I do want to, I would like to put a book out there. I would like to increase my writings. Right now, I'm just going to use that pad of paper to get my writings out. That'll be the way I go until I can take care of Dr. Khaled. First, I would just use the newspaper to write as much as to clarify what we're doing and what we believe in. Our next paper is scheduled to come out in early December.
Sure.
We're working on it now, and then I'm probably going to have much more in it than last time. So that's my thinking on that right now.
Yeah, we got another caller that popped up. 214-875, you're on the air with the National Chairman, Dr. Mukhtar Shabazz. Your question, your comment, Black Power.
Black Power, this is Brother Waqil, Louisiana chapter.
Waqil.
I'm here in Dallas with Brother Drew, studying with him, and I just want to say, you know, I'm listening and learning.
Yeah, well, we hope we're giving you what you need, Black. We got to go to work in northern Louisiana, you know.
Yes, sir, most definitely.
You know, we have to raise us up some Black people. One thing I like about the South, and for those that are listening in the South, I think the Panther Party has the most potential in the South. I think in all of the towns and the counties and the different areas that if we work the Panther program right, that it will really catch on like wildfire throughout the South.
Yes, sir.
And so you let us know how we can help you, brother, in northern Louisiana. I ain't been to northern Louisiana. Isn't Bunky in northern Louisiana?
Actually, I'm in Shreveport.
In Shreveport. How far is Bunky from you?
Sir?
How far is Bunky, little Bunky, Louisiana from you?
I never heard of that. It's probably down south somewhere.
Well, no, I think it's in the corner up there anyway. That's the last time I was seriously in Louisiana when we went and we took buses in to get some of the brothers and sisters out of Hurricane Katrina.
Okay, well, yeah, because you had to get them out of Hurricane Katrina. That was down south somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but in the South and in these southern cities, I think the Panther program can run really well if the Panther program addresses the needs of the people. Many times in these southern cities and towns, the people have beefs with local law enforcement. They have beefs with local city or county government. They have beefs with the education system. They have beefs with the police department being mistreated, being feeling that they're being mistreated. They have beefs with the way the money is being distributed in the black community and where the resources are going. And they're looking for strong leadership that will stand up and to lead them in the fight. And so, kind of like SNCC, when the Panthers and SNCC, well, in the early days of SNCC, which is really the early days of the Panther Party, down there in Lowndes County, Alabama, the basic situation in Lowndes County, Alabama, was that black people were 80% of the population in Lowndes County, but they controlled 0% of the power and the political power, the political seats, the sheriff's department, all of that was controlled by a small group of white folks that had been pimping the blacks since sharecropping days. And so along comes Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture, and others that went in and organized Lowndes County, and they met success amongst the people because the program was basically black power. If it's 80% of black people in the county, black people should control 80% of the politics, 80% of the business. And damn it, we should control, as they were going, control the local sheriff's department, fire department, all of that. And it was a battle and it was a struggle down there with Brother John Hewlett in Lowndes County. But ultimately, that kind of organizing is where our future lies. Black people will follow the Panther program and they will follow Panther leadership if the Panther leadership know what it's doing. And so, you know, to the extent we can get some of that on tonight and others, this kind of instructions and lessons on how to, and maybe we'll go further into that next time, get more into really how to organize the black community, how to get people behind our cause. You see, when black people killed by the police, Drew X got the right idea. At least you got to go out there and help the family. At least you got to go out there and rally the community. It's very rarely anybody that's going to do that.
That's right.
So you got to go out there and represent black people and their cases and their causes. And in the South, they're going to stand up because they're not really as pretentious as those of us in the North are. They're not as necessarily as image conscious. And they throw on some boots and fatigues in a minute in the South. So I'm looking forward to coming down there. I say that there's great future. It's no accident that the new Black Panther Party started in Dallas, Texas. There's no accident that Khalid Abdul-Muhammad in Atlanta before he passed. And so great things come out of the South, Brother Waqil, and we're expecting great things from you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Awesome. We appreciate you, black man.
Like Powell.
We'll take a...
Yes, sir.
What time is it, Brother Sean?
We're right about 12:36. We had a question about the chat room on Mumia Abu-Jamal. What your thoughts was of the situation on the comrade Mumia Abu-Jamal?
That the only true way to that any of our political prisoners will really be liberated is to be physically taken out of these prison walls. That the only way that really Mumia Abu-Jamal is really going to be free, or who anybody else you may name, Malachi York, Russell Schultz, any of them, all of them, Sekou Odinga, Sundiata, all of our greats that are behind bars, we must fight on every front, of course. We must fight with the attorneys and the appeals. Right now they're trying to see whether or not Mumia should be executed. They've already decided that he ain't getting a new trial, and now it boils down to either life in prison or execution for the former Black Panther and award-winning journalist. our dear and beloved brother, Mumia Abu-Jamal, who I've had the opportunity to sit with, and I hope to see him again soon in the very near future. We will be in Philadelphia, and our representative, Minister Zaid Muhammad, and others from Philadelphia will be there in the courtroom tomorrow. As the appeals court goes over and decides the fate of whether or not he will be permitted to die, or the process of the procedures will be allowed to continue that could lead to his execution, which puts the pressure on the organizers and the black community, but really the organizers, if they execute Mumia, then what? Since the cry was from the beginning, if Mumia dies, fire in the sky. You know? And so, this crack is serious. You know? He don't care nothing about killing you. He don't care what you're saying. How many of you got in the streets? You see what they did to Saddam Hussein? You see what they're about to do to Tariq Aziz. And so, I love Mumia. I just don't see right now, unless some miracle happens, I don't see the legal avenue as being his avenue out. By God's grace, hopefully he will not, the door will be closed to execution and it will just have to be life in prison. And if it's life in prison, then at least it leaves a chance for somebody, certainly not us, we don't know nothing about it, but for somebody or for somehow, some way, he'd be broken out of them goddamn prison walls and that the walls of Jericho come tumbling down.
Sir.
The only real way to free all political prisoners, you know. These are questions y'all have to be up at night pondering. And really thinking on. They bother me. It bothers me at night sometimes, just thinking on this. You know what I mean? Really thinking on what really has to be done to get free. You know? It's not like I'm satisfied with all the options that we have or what we're doing right now. But these are serious questions for our generation. Asada Shakur is free by these methods. You know, in the meanwhile, we should do everything we can, I would say, to support the organizers and what they say to do for Mumia and for you all not to fall into the traps of the counterintelligence program or the modern counterintelligence program, the Patriot Act. Don't you all fall into those traps so we don't have to be trying to free you.
Exactly.
Because we ain't got the time or the effort to be trying to free no more political prisoners. We got enough as it is, our brave and bold comrades. And so in the meanwhile, we have to support them with everything we can, give all that we can, and I'm certainly right here doing anything that is asking me for any of the political prisoners. And for all of you who are here now, you have to be very strong, and also very wise in this day and hour, because this enemy is snooping more than he was in the past. He has more sophisticated technology and snooping abilities, spying abilities, agent planting abilities than he had in the past. Nevertheless, we have to get the job done. If we don't, who will? Next question.
Yes, sir. Let's see. All right. I think that's all the questions that the family has right now for you, Master Chairman. Anything that you want to close out on? We're right about 15 minutes left of the show.
We have gone long. Maybe we'll close early, but I just want to say join in to the new Black Panther Party. Join. If you love Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad and you love his teaching, join. If you say you appreciate Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, don't just cheer me on. Come on, join with me. If you love the new Black Panther Party, you see the brothers and sisters in the community and you love them, join. If you want to know how you fit in, if you see us and you like our message but you don't know quite how you fit into that, but you know that something is pulling you on a certain way, but you have questions, You email nbpphq@yahoo.com. nbpphq@yahoo.com. Join one of our national ministries. Join some part of this. We have some role for you. Even if you can't join a local chapter, if that ain't you, we got some role for you. NAACP got all kind of members, man. They got hundreds of thousands of members. They got damn near 20,000 in the Washington area. You go to the local meeting, ain't going to be but 20 people there.
Right.
But they got members everywhere, card-carrying, dues-paying members, and many of them contribute in different kind of ways to the NAACP. And so I'm here to tell you that I believe that the Panther Party can be spread to the masses. It can be as much effective in the black community as the Tea Party is effective in the white community. The Panther Party and the Panther Program, community control, political action, self-defense, black power, building things in our own community, building schools, building free health clinics, military training, black liberation theology, stopping the violence. All of this is what I want y'all to join on to. If you won't join on to this, the wrath of the white man is going to come down heavy and crush everybody. And I say this to the new Black Panther Party, if we don't do this for our people, if we don't do this and give this kind of example for our people, history will not be kind to us. History is not going to record the history of the black nation fairly if we let what we have in our hands die out.
Right.
So also, if you love Huey P. Newton, if you love Minister Malcolm X, join the new Black Panther Party. If you love Sister Asada Shakur, if you love the sisters, the fighting spirit of black women in the liberation struggle, if you believe that a black woman should not be oppressed, but she should be allowed to take her position on the front lines of the liberation struggle as a teacher, as a warrior, as an administrator, as a helper in this work, you got to come on. We got to give us a call. This is an altar call to everybody who's listening to come on off of the fence, brothers and sisters. We got to build a mass movement. We got to build an organization of all African unity. And so I think I'll be on one more time Wednesday, and I'm really going to put this thing together right in advance, and I'm going to go further. But
yes,
the bottom line, the messages will be the same. We must get up and do something about this. The tide is changing. Liberalism is dying. Liberalism is on its deathbed. The hope that the Democratic Party can save black people is on its deathbed. The white man is baring his bare teeth and is going to get stronger against us every day. He's going to cut out Section 8. He's moving to cut out food stamps. He's moving to give a final farewell to welfare. He's moving against social programs, moving against funding for prisoners and those that are behind bars, moving against black college students, moving against any kind of relief from foreclosures and mortgages in the black community. He's moving. And so when he moves, we got to move just like that. Dear brothers and sisters, I am your brother. I'm sorry if I sound tired. You know, it'll be getting late around here, about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, sir.
But we are like Noah calling y'all out, man. We are like Noah telling you that a flood is coming, that a flood is coming, and you must get on the ark, that a flood is coming and that you must get on this ark. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. On Wednesday night, I'm going to approach this very topic. Maybe I'll hold off on that. I want to get better prepared. But 1 week I'll do this. I want to do a topic on a black liberation theology and the new Black Panther Party. I'll hit some of it next time, but in the future I would like to do that as we move further. Brother, I'm gone, man. I'm tired. I got to get some rest and get up here at 6 o'clock in the morning and work like any other working man or woman in the Black Nation.
Yes, sir. Well, we don't want to hold you any more than that, Mr. Chairman. We thank you for your time. Love you dearly and look forward to hearing from you again on Wednesday.
All right. I appreciate you. Appreciate you all in the radio listening audience and Black Power.
Black Power. And there it is, brothers and sisters. That's the national chairman, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, our warrior lawyer, doctor, and attorney, Malik Zulu Shabazz. And all thing I can do is just follow up on what he said, just tell you the real. If you love Minister Huey, if you love the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, if you love Sister Asada, if you love Chancellor Williams, if you love any of our warriors, join into the movement. Don't be a damn fence hanger. Don't hang on the fence. Get up and do something for yourself. We see our people are being slaughtered, misused, abused, mistreated, and we are not and will not get any justice from the system. So we got a man up, we got a woman up, and we got to do for ourselves. And so that's it. So we thank you all for listening, as you all heard it first right here. The National Chairman will be back on Wednesday to go further into the subject, dig deep into the subject, and, of course, field more of your questions as we march on towards liberation and salvation. This is your brother and comrade in the struggle with you, Brother Sean Kwali, and we leave you as we came with love and peace, but also with Black Power.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Miss a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. It is a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality will remain in but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war. War. And until the ignoble and unhappy regime that hold our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa, by human bondage have been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war. Is a war. War in the east, war in the west, war up north, war down south. War, war. Rumors of a war. And until that day,
plan. I'm raw like cats from Afghanistan, with gats in their hand from Philly to Pakistan. Fake pack in the stands, you make all fake thugs start acting like stands. You'll never make a move cause you lacking a fan. I've been ill since I had a backpack full of cans. You see life pass by you in a blink of an eye, thinking you fly will choke you in a sink till you die. You spit lava rap, so holler back if need be. You'll burn if you step, believe me. Come see me, I make you see moons in the break of day, and make sure that your body slowly starts to decay. Dog, it's gruesome, I had to add my 2 cents. The next movement in rap gets too tense. Out of space, nigga, and we demand we eat. And if not, we gon' leave a bloodbath in the street, nigga.
They asking, get 30 spoils of war. Such spoils are the disposal of God and the apostles. So fear God and keep straight the relations between yourselves. Obey God and his apostles if ye do believe.
I'm a maniac, you need to watch who you roll with. You in a land of stars when the block isn't over. Swap rock with my hands, my palms is enormous. Flow the hot lava that I drop when I scorch it. Got some candy wrappers that get chopped up and snorted. Newborn kids that get chopped up aborted. Planet war child when we pop up recorded. Committing riot acts so we constantly torch it. Illest water rock thought process is morbid. Equip the slaughter block, you get the picture of portrait. If it ain't monetary, what's your reason for soaring? All that shit you pop, to be honest, is boring. Been rocking the mic since before it's recorded. You need to sit back and let your conscience absorb this before you ship your demo to them dudes in the office. Come test your skills for real in Hell Fortress.
I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth, or on the sea, or on any creek. I saw another angel ascend from the sunrise, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to harm the earth and the sea.
Immortal technique, I live life strangling death. I walk through the land where the fallen angel is kept, but I would never bow down to a pagan habit. Like Roman gods that were faggots named after the planet. The connotations of revelations taken for granted. Mark of the beast, government microchips implanted. I'll be branded a maniac for speaking the truth, and I'll be murdered as soon as I hit the street with the proof. Illuminati trying to raise the devil at any cost. They probably clone Jesus with the blood off of the cross. And I know that it's the same motherfuckers I see that genetically engineered HIV, controlling the population according to mathematics generated by masons and the military industry, sponsoring terror, creating a profit margin that'll last forever. The crusades of Vietnam stand blasted together, and you believe in whatever, even a federal promise. But the spawn of Shaitan can never be honest. The poor people pay homage and pray to a God that the Vatican themselves don't really believe in, cause they rather worship money and the physical demons. Without biblical reason, I execute them for treason. I don't need an alibi, cause my place in history is the book of Malachi, motherfucker. Yeah, Immortal Technique, Harlem, New York, and North Philly. The angels of death are here, you motherfucker. I'ma turn your cities to salt, nigga. Y'all ain't shit, and none of you people is shit. None of your children is shit. They all be dead tomorrow, fake motherfuckers.